Friday afternoon. That means it's time for another episode of Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Craig Wilson. How's it, Craig?
Yeah, all right. And you, Duncan?
It's been quite a dramatic news week, hasn't it?
It's been a busy one indeed.
Yeah. I guess the big news this week is that Lars Reichelt, the CEO of CLC, surprisingly announced that he was going to be stepping down as chief executive officer with immediate effect.
It's the immediate effect part that was perhaps the most surprising.
Yeah. His contract runs out in 6 months. He had a 3-year contract. He's been in the job for 2.5 years. I don't think there's anything to be read into the fact that he's leaving with immediate effect. It's from the people I've spoken to, including Lars himself and the chairman of CLC, Simon Duffy. He is leaving for personal reasons. I know a lot of company executives often say they're leaving for personal reasons when in fact they're not leaving for personal reasons.
Sure.
But I think in this case, Lars is genuinely moving on for personal reasons. You know, his family lives in Switzerland and he commutes back and forth a lot, which must be pretty hard on him. And he's been working bloody hard over the last 2.5 years. I believe he works, from speaking to colleagues of his, I believe he works late into the night every night, and it must
be taking its toll. It's just unfortunate for CLC because
it is
obviously it's also nice. I mean, aside from his sort of what he's achieved there in the last 2.5 years that he's been there, it's just always unfortunate, I suppose, when you can't do a sort of gentle handover to the replacement.
Yeah, I was chatting to Simon Duffy, the chairman, and he said that it was his decision, or his and the board's decision to decide that Lars should move on immediately after his decision to not renew his contract. But he said to me that he felt that given previous experience that he's had, CEOs that do decide that they're going to leave don't necessarily have all their heart in the project anymore, and
right.
It makes sense to have what he called a clean break.
Stands to reason.
Yeah. Simon Duffy's going to be standing in as CEO until they find a replacement for Lars. And Lars has indicated that he will continue in an advisory capacity for a period to facilitate a smooth handover. But you're right, Craig. Lars Reichelt has done an amazing job at CLC. You know, 2-3 years ago, the company was
on the ropes.
Yeah, it was. It was drowning in debt. They did that big debt for equity swap deal.
Right.
They've managed to clean up their balance sheet to some extent. And of course, they've rolled out this nationwide 3G network, and gone through what Simon Duffy calls a reboot.
Right.
They've changed their brand. They've launched aggressive marketing campaigns, and people have really been talking about CLC. Whereas a couple of years ago, it was just that, you know, the third operator that people had kind of just forgotten about.
Absolutely. And also, obviously, the first operator to start what has been a tumble in data prices. I mean, CLC were the first to come to market with reduced pricing. And they've sort of started the snowball effect that we're seeing subsequently.
Yeah, and the announcements are coming thick and fast. MTN announcing last week, earlier this week, that they're going to be cutting the price of their so-called uncapped broadband offerings. Not really uncapped.
I was going to say, the so-called uncapped is the important bit there.
And Ata, of course, has come to market with the most aggressive mobile broadband pricing we've seen to date. The only company that hasn't come to the party yet is Vodacom, and I'm actually very surprised that they haven't made an announcement yet.
Indeed, also because in a sense I feel like the longer they wait, the more impressive the announcement has to be. But I think a lot of people suspect that the announcement, when it comes, won't be that dramatic, for the simple reason that none of the networks can really afford, particularly with how congested they are already, none of the networks can really afford to match, let alone undercut, Ata's really impressive offering.
Indeed. I suspect that what we're going to see from Vodacom isn't a price cut. Well, it'll be an effective price cut, but you're not actually, if you're on a 500 megabytes a month data bundle, for example, I suspect you won't get a price cut, but you'll get a much bigger data allocation.
Indeed, so, I think you'll just get more for the same rather than more for less.
So you may get a gigabyte now instead of 500 megabytes. Because I think if they were actually just to physically cut the price on these products, then it would have a huge impact on Vodacom's revenue stream.
But absolutely.
If they go the other route and simply increase the data bundles, I think you'll find a lot of customers will say, well, I'll get more data for the same price. That's cool. I'll just carry on with this one, even if they don't use it.
Well, that's the other problem, too, is that you can't, you know, when you want to make these changes, you've got people you've just signed up for a 2-year contract who are 3 months in. And I imagine all of your you know, a lot of your future revenue predictions are premised on the fact that you have these contractual obligations
yes.
for however many months. And you also don't want your existing customers to feel like they're getting the short end of the stick by suddenly offering much better packages.
So, yeah, and that is a challenge. I mean, the 2 gigabytes per month specials that Cell C, Vodacom, and MTN are offering for 149 rand a month with a USB modem must certainly be upsetting some of these companies' existing clients who are paying significantly more than that for less data.
And are tied into it because they've signed a contract, or in some instances...
Although I think a lot of people just go for the bolt-on bundles, which you can change up and down.
Sure, and hopefully really we'll see some reductions in the pricing there, because that still remains incredibly steep, particularly for sort of prepaid users who want to do it. You know, I'm on MTN prepaid, and at the moment... You know, 2 gigs of data bolt-on for MTN is sort of 289 rand a month. I mean, not 289 rand a month, sorry, 289 rand once off
yes.
for that 2 gigs. And I think that 2 gigs is then valid for 60 days.
Right.
But, you know, compared to things like the ATA offering, which obviously is contract-based, it's just exorbitant. And hopefully we'll see some reductions in prepaid bolt-on data prices as well.
Yeah. Anyway, I really think we're going to see something from Vodacom any day now. So maybe even they've got a tendency to announce these things in the Sunday newspaper. So maybe we'll see some news this Sunday.
Maybe this
from
Sunday,
Vodacom.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling that something's going to be announced very shortly.
Sure, I think it has to be.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. So anything else we wanted to chat about Cell C? I think that it's going to be interesting to see who they bring in. Lars is certainly a character and certainly, I think, enjoyed this industry and enjoyed the sort of publicity that Cell C generated over the last while. I wonder if Cell C is going to bring in someone equally maverick.
Well, as I said, the problem too is that they need someone equally charismatic.
Mm.
And they're certainly large shoes to fill.
Mm. Well, we both know that Alan Ott Craig, the former CEO of Vodacom, is planning to get into the telecommunications industry again in a big way from early next year when his restraint of trade agreements with Vodacom come to an end.
So perhaps this is just the job he's been waiting for.
Perhaps it is. let's watch the space. But, you know, Cell C might want to get someone in sooner than that, because I can't remember the exact date. I think it's around March or April next year. That is, it's still a fair wait if you want to wait for a CEO. And I don't know if Simon Duffy wants to act as CEO for that sort of length of time.
Sure.
But
it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, but apparently they're going to... I saw there was a report on Inet Bridge this morning saying they are going to look local for a CEO if possible. So...
Perhaps because they don't want one that has to commute so much next time around.
Yes, or one who's going to bring his family out here and locate himself here. But it's going to be sad to see Lars Reichelt go. He's been a real character in this industry, and he's really shaken things up. So good luck to him. Now Nando's, the chicken restaurant chain, has just launched a new advertising campaign, or should, probably not a campaign, more just an advertisement, in their long-running series where they've been taking the mickey out of Cell C's advertising campaigns with Trevor Noah. If you recall, Craig, I think it was last year already, where they announced that Trevor Noah would be the chief experience officer, I think it is.
That's right, yeah.
Or CEO, in inverted commas, of Cell C. And they've ran a series of campaigns with Trevor Noah, saying he was going to keep an eye on Cell C management and
watch things like a hawk.
Watch the company like a hawk, indeed. And Nando's came back with something along the lines of "We'll be watching you like a chicken." I see they had a couple of TV ads which they flighted very cleverly. I think Nando's obviously got a much smaller marketing budget than Cell C, and they really piggybacked on the back of the Cell C marketing effort and got their brand talked about.
Well, and on the back of, frankly, how much that Cell C campaign got panned in the press.
Yes.
It's got all sorts of the wrong kinds of attention. Yes. So it's the perfect target for someone like Nando's, who also likes to be a little bit satirical.
Yeah. I mean, you remember the 4G and then the 4GS that Cell C came up with.
The four great service.
Four great speed, four great service. And four great something else. I was having another look at the Nando's ad that flighted a few months ago and having a good chuckle. They had 5GS, five great sources. But they're running a campaign now, an advertisement now, just on the back, very, very fast and very clever marketing, I think, saying, we'll be watching you, Lars, like a chicken.
That's been one of Nando's great successes, too, is how quickly they can respond to current affairs and get a campaign or get an ad out in the market. I think it's brilliant. And also, they had a nice comment I saw at the end of your article talking about it that said they hope that the next Celsi CEO had as good a sense of humor as Lars, which speaks well to his character, too.
Indeed, absolutely. Great. We're 10 minutes into the show already, so I think we'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after these messages.
The Vox Superphone and your ADSL line go together like taxis and rush hour. Ah! But we do give a hoot. Now you can use your ADSL for more than just surfing. With the Superphone, you can call any phone, anywhere, using your ADSL line. You save money, earn rebates, and box-to-box calls are free. No contracts, just plug and play. Your ADSL and the Vox Superphone. It's the perfect combination. Make the most of your ADSL. Visit voxsuperphone.co.za.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon. Ignition sequence start. It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN, lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Craig Wilson. Craig, you spent the entire day yesterday at a local loop unbundling conference.
I did.
Was that as boring as it sounds?
It was, let's just say, educational. There was rather a lot I didn't know going in, and I certainly feel like far more of an LLU expert after an entire day of workshops.
It was organized by the South African Communications Forum, which is an industry body and industry lobby group.
That's right.
Telkom came out all guns blazing, saying that local loop unbundling is a bad idea. What did they say exactly?
They did. Essentially, I mean, Telkom did not do themselves any favors yesterday. They brought the biggest delegation to the workshop out of any of the speakers for the day. While most other people had one, possibly two representatives, Telkom had three.
Many of them were lawyers.
Well, yes, one of them was a lawyer. They decided to talk about the economics and the legalities and the technical side of local loop unbundling, and suggested that ultimately Telkom feels the process could be counterproductive, and that by the time it's done and the costs involved, the biggest problem, Duncan, with the presentation was that the distinct impression, and I spoke to other delegates who were there, was that Telkom were simply trying to baffle people with detail. A lot of the presentation was virtually impenetrable, and it was heavily, heavily bogged down with technical details. And it was by no means a sort of open and friendly presentation. The suggestion was, we're brighter than you. We've done all the numbers. We've looked at this in depth, and you're all wrong. Was the general impression we got. The bonus, though, of it having been such a sort of combative presentation was that Angus Hay of Neotel was the next to present. And I know that he has mixed sort of popularity levels in the industry, but his presentation was made to look all the more impressive and all the more open and honest and sort of friendly, precisely because Telkom's was the complete opposite. And he very amusingly ended it with a slide where he'd taken BT Telecom, British Telecom in the UK, had to unbundle in recent years, and in many ways was quite similar to Telkom in terms of how much of the market they dominated, and BT essentially have repositioned themselves as a wholesale access seller. And so Angus Hay ended his presentation with a slide where he'd taken the BT wholesale access webpage and simply rebranded it with Telkom's colors and logos and so on, sort of as if to say, well, this is what you could be doing and this is what we'd suggest. And of course, the audience loved that and got a big laugh out of everyone. But, you know, LLU is just, obviously, it's been going on for years and it's a complicated issue with a lot of different parties with a lot of vested interests. And it was just unfortunate that the impression from this workshop yesterday was that Telkom say that it's not essentially they said that they feel it's not possible. It's not only not prudent, but that it can't be done. It's excessively complicated, and their network is aging. And they you know demonstrated that they're rather reticent to hurry up the process. And you get the distinct impression there that they're going to do what they can to dig in their heels.
I think that was always going to be the case, that they always were going to fight this because the local loop is so important to them, particularly in some of the bigger business areas like Rosebank, Sandton, and perhaps in some parts of Cape Town. They stand to lose a lot of money if rival operators are given access to provide services into business premises, especially. I think it was inevitable they're going to fight this. The interesting angle will be the political angle here. The communications minister has clearly stated that he wants local loop unbundling to be completed by November this year. And if Telkom is going to fight this, are we going to see Roy Pagliacci having a quiet word in the ear of this Telkom CEO saying, "Oi, stop fighting this, get it done."
Sure. Well, that's it. I mean, people are pressing, and you know, a lot of people I spoke to are really pleased that there is a deadline, but there is a lot of cynicism that the deadline will be met. A lot of people feel that Telkom are going to do everything in their power to delay it.
Well, certainly if Telkom fights this in the courts and in Parliament, I think, as it was suggested, then this that November deadline is simply not going to happen.
Sure, which is a bad news for...
I mean, even at this stage, ICASA seems to have taken the November 2011 deadline to mean that that's the time the regulations must be produced by, other operators can get access to Telkom's facilities.
Well, this is the other problem too, is, you know, with it being such a complicated issue, there's a lot of room, frankly, for the lawyers to come in and bog it down, because a lot of people are also talking about how do we define... local loop unbundling, because they've suggested sort of four proposed measures, everything from, you know, the easiest and simplest and arguably least effective, which is Bitstream unbundling, all the way up to full unbundling, which is what most people want. But there's a lot of argument about how you actually define these terms and what it means and who's going to be liable for what and how Telkom's going to recoup and what they can legally, bill other people wanting to use their infrastructure, what they can build them for it. And, you know, unfortunately, there is a lot of room for people to get stuck in with a fine tooth comb. And I'd be very surprised if this got wrapped up tidily in November as government would like.
Yeah, I can't see it happening personally. I think it's going to drag out over a couple of years still.
Sure. And is it in the meantime, of course, so fortunately, a lot of people feel equally cynical about it actually happening. And so, you know, there are companies laying fiber and trying to create workarounds and trying to slowly build their own networks, even if there is, of course, this argument too, that the problem with if LLU doesn't happen is that it seems so wasteful to duplicate infrastructure.
Yeah, that's the other argument. If we have local loop unbundling, is that going to actually... disincentivize other operators from building fiber to the home networks?
Sure. Well, I mean, I would like to think not. Also because, you know, the copper network is aging. And, this is Telkom's other complaint, is they're saying, well, we need to spend money. It's not free, you know. They say that the assumption is that people go, oh, well, it's already built. You just need to sell it on.
Yeah.
But there are maintenance concerns too. And arguably, I mean, copper isn't a... copper is by no means a long-term solution either, even if everyone does have access. And certainly, if it were to de-incentivize people to lay fiber, that would be a problem. But I don't see that happening. I think the people who are really, you know, getting involved in fiber and pushing for it and actually physically making it happen and laying it realize that that's the way to go. And if we really want to, South Africa wants to keep its position as the sort of African internet leader, fibers got to be the way to go eventually.
No, definitely. I mean, I made an argument in a column a couple of weeks ago that Telkom should actually be spending billions of rand on a national fibre to the home project. It's just a pity they wasted so much money up in Nigeria on their failed multi-links investment.
Indeed.
10 billion rand in total.
Because they could have laid a lot of fibre here.
laid a lot of fibre for 10 billion rand and
if they don't do it, someone else could beat them to it.
Yeah. I think fibre, they're going to have to do fibre to the home to some extent or other. In the near to medium term, probably they're going to have to start looking at doing this within 3 years. Sure. Otherwise, someone is going to come along and steal their lunch.
Yeah, and then tough. I mean, why would anyone opt for anything less if there was the choice?
Absolutely. The other big news this week was Vox Telecom, which has been trading under a cautionary since September last year related to discussions, which we've reported on a number of occasions related to the company's delisting. I'm glad to say we were right about that. They have been bought out by a consortium made up of Investec and Lireco Metier, and they will be, assuming they get all the requisite approvals, including shareholder approval, they will be delisting from the Johannesburg Stock Exchange's Alt-X board, probably sometime later this year. And the more interesting news for me, I thought, out of the announcement was that if the deal goes ahead, Angus McRobert, who's the former chief executive officer of Internet Solutions, will be taking over as co-CEO of Vox alongside Doug Reed. Now, Gus is a very well-respected industry leader. He did a great job at Internet Solutions. He's got a number of investments in the sector, in a number of ISPs, including Access, which is an ISP based down in Port Elizabeth, I think, as well as a number of other investments. And I wonder whether there are plans afoot to look at potentially integrating some of these or getting these companies to work more closely together with Vox Telecom. I spoke to Gus last night, and he said he's under what's the phrase? He's not allowed to talk. He's been muzzled for now, and I think until this transaction goes through. But it's a huge coup for Vox Telecom, I think, to have him on board, someone of his caliber. And Vox will have two CEOs again. They had Tony van Marken, who left earlier this year, who was leading the company with Doug Reed, who was, I think, Group MD, and Tony was CEO. Now we're going to have co-CEOs of the company. But it's just a pity it's delisting from the exchange, because I think Doug and Angus together could really build a formidable proposition there.
Sure. Well, is it shareholders too will have the option to hang on to their shares,
even
if it is a delisted firm. So for those who feel similarly, they can maintain their stake.
Absolutely, yeah. Of course, being a shareholder in an unlisted company is a little more challenging than an listed company,
sure,
because it's much harder to trade the counter. But another delisting from the JSE. There have been quite a few of those in the technology space in the last year.
Indeed.
And a few attempted ones. Mustek, of course, had its attempt to delist derailed by the Section 45 of the Companies Act and provisions around that. But before we close off for the week, I think we must talk about MTN, which has switched on its LTE network. It's the biggest deployment of LTE in Africa to date. It is still a pilot, so you can't go and buy an LTE modem from an MTN shop. But I was at the launch a couple of days ago, and they're getting quite aggressive about it. They've built 100 base stations around Gauteng, all of which are connected to fiber backhaul, and they were demoing it at the MTN head office. I'm not sure where the base station was actually located, but they were getting speeds of between 40 and 60 megabit per second on local bandwidth, which is quite extraordinary.
That's amazing, yeah.
They were saying that the highest speed they got was just over 70 megabits a second during the testing phase. They're using a technology called 2x2 MIMO or MIMO, which allows theoretical speeds of up to 100 megabits a second in the 10 megahertz of spectrum that they're using at 1800 megahertz.
That was a lot of
jargon.
Yes.
Basically, it means they've used a section of the spectrum that they've been allocated for voice in the 1.8 gigahertz band to provide data services. The terminology is they've refarmed it, and they could be offering even higher speeds if they had access to more spectrum, such as in the 2.6 gigahertz band, which ICASA is expected to auction off later this year,
and which everybody wants.
Or in the 800 megahertz band, which will become available in a couple of years once the television broadcasters move from analog to digital broadcasts. They're talking 2 or 3 years to have a national LTE network up and running,
which is great news.
It is, if they can get the spectrum.
It's the first step, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's also nice to see that, I mean, you said they've sort of reallocated a portion of the spectrum, and I think that's really interesting too, and I think we could see more of that in due course, just as you said with the television migration, they want to free up some spectrum. You know, I think in years to come, as demand for voice, traditional voice services declines and demand for data increases, we may see more of this sort of reallocating the spectrum.
Particularly at 1800 megahertz, I think. I think particularly for MTN and Vodacom, it's a real challenge, especially in the more dense urban areas, to refarm 900 megahertz just because they've got so many users using that spectrum for voice calls.
Sure.
Cell C obviously refarmed a portion of 900 megahertz for its 3G HSPA Plus network, but was able to do so because it had comparatively few customers using that network, so they could actually allocate a portion of their 900 megahertz GSM band for the purpose of providing high-speed broadband
without impairing the sort of service to their existing voice customers.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Vodacom could never, for example, refarm 900 megahertz in Sandton because their customers would be up in arms because they couldn't make any phone calls.
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, the number of options they could refarm voice from 900 to 1800 and then try and use some of that for data, or they could try and use some of the 1800 for data. Ideally, though, they do need access to the 2.6 gigahertz spectrum for the urban areas, and then down the line to do rural broadband, they need access to the 800 megahertz band. But they said MTN is certainly being quite aggressive here. They certainly got the biggest LTE network going. I know Vodacom has tested LTE, but I think really much in a campus LAN type environment with one or two base stations at their head office in Midrand. But MTN's going quite a bit bigger here. I guess it's partly marketing, to be
seen. Indeed, in light of their recent reductions to their, as we said, in inverted commas, uncapped offerings.
Yeah.
And this is certainly the more interesting news, but also sort of put them together, and you know, casual browse suggests that they're doing things, which is terribly important and what you want the public to see. So
good. Great. Well, that's all we had to talk about this week, Craig. Thanks for listening to the show again. As always, if you've got any feedback, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za. From Craig and myself, until next Friday, have a good week. Cheers.